Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call if you'd like to get in on our conversations or bring up whatever is on your mind. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
And Ian.
And Nikki.
And tonight we have Argentina to talk about. Why? I hadn't really thought about them for a while, but this week I keep hearing about them because apparently a libertarian won some kind of a primary down there. And Ian's got that story for us. We also have a mother kind of lost at sea, or at least stranded. Stranded is probably the better word for that, because they know where she is. But the government isn't letting her get back on land with her baby. Mm. And we have a newspaper, I think it's in Kansas, that a newspaper company that got raided by their local police station. And basically here at Free Talk Live, we bring up current news events and talk about them with the slant of we all believe in liberty and living as free as you can. And that's what we're here for tonight. So, Ian, do you want to get into the story about the Argentina man?
Yeah, there's been a lot of buzz about their libertarian presidential candidate down there in Argentina. And, of course, if you've been, I don't know, somewhat tuned into international news, you know that Argentina is once again going through a bout of terrible inflation of their money supply. I believe I heard that it was like over 100% in a year.
Wow.
Inflation. Now, you know, we've seen U.S. numbers, which we know are manipulated.
Yeah, of course.
We know the U.S. Government thugs, they try to make lower numbers than they're actually doing as far as inflation. So the official numbers. Yeah, they lie. The official numbers here have been between, you know, 5 and 9% in the last roughly year. In Argentina, it's 100% or somewhere in that range. And this isn't the first time the Argentinian people have had to deal with a banking crisis or
Even
a central bank crisis.
People in America can feel inflation. Like people are saying groceries cost more. You can see it. Imagine what 10 times the inflation would feel like.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Yeah. I mean, and I was talking about this with my dad the other day, because even just like simple like medical equipment that I order for my business, for example, mm-hmm. some stuff will be $20 more. And he was saying the same thing. He said I used like a box of screws as an example, but he was like a bulk pack that would cost him $80 now costs him $120.
And he's in construction.
So that's right. So that's a huge increase.
It is.
You know, in just a few months.
Yeah, it's hitting everywhere, and that's the result of government printing money. That's what inflation is. It's not what they tell you in the official newspapers or Fox News or CNN or whatever, where they tell you that it's the prices going up. That's actually a symptom of inflation. The cause of the prices going up tends to be the government just printing out, in this case, trillions of dollars that were sent to mega businesses. And, of course, you got maybe a $1,400 check at some point. A lot of people got that
couple
check.
$600
yeah
one.
There was another one here and there, right? And but the bulk of that money went to mega corporations,
yeah.
And you know, the military industrial complex and the pharmaceutical industrial complex and, you know, pharma bros and all that. So Argentina, though, things are much, much worse down there. And what's really, I think, interesting about this story is it goes to show that maybe libertarians actually have a chance if economic conditions get so bad. Like right now in the United States, libertarians cannot get more than 1% to 2% in any given three-way race between them, the Republicans, and the Democrats. And they've been just stuck in that rut for as long as I've been around. which is, of course, why a lot of us migrated here to New Hampshire, so we could focus our efforts in one place and hopefully actually accomplish something. But in Argentina, they've accomplished a tremendous political victory over the weekend. Now, it's just the presidential primary, mind you, so this guy has not been elected president.
I mean, that's still huge, though.
But it is
that,
pretty huge.
You know, hasn't happened, I mean, anywhere else, really?
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
I guess it just works differently than it does in America, because every year a libertarian gets a primary because they're their own party. So what does this really mean? Like,
yeah, that's a great question. And they do actually get into it here in the story from the AP, which I will get into. And seeing different stories about this over the last few days, because this has been in social media quite a bit. Obviously, libertarians very excited about this. There's a lot of press, like this headline, that calls him, quote-unquote, far right.
Wow.
Of course.
Even though apparently he self-describes as a so-called anarcho-capitalist.
And listen, I don't know much about this man. I'm excited to learn more tonight on the show. Mm-hmm. But from what I've seen, I haven't seen anything like, oh, he's a racist or anything else you usually associate with far right.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that he believes in open borders.
Oh, does he? Okay.
I saw someone say that.
Yeah, I would hope so. I don't know if he speaks English. I haven't seen any English interviews with him yet, but usually the clips are of him speaking Spanish.
He's an interesting looking man.
He looks a lot like one of the old Doctor Who characters from back in the day.
He kind of looks like Austin Powers.
He's got this wild hairstyle, and in fact, there was a headline that I saw at the Drudge Report today about him, and when I clicked on the story, the Wall Street Journal literally wrote an entire story about his hair. It has It has absolutely nothing in it about, like, his belief systems or, you know, anything actually meaningful about him. It's just all about his hair.
That's almost embarrassing that the Wall Street Journal is writing a piece like that. Like, that's just, like, basically coming out and saying that they have nothing of value to say, you know?
No, it deserves its own story.
Well,
you just need to see it.
To the story's credit, it does say towards the end that he did clap back at a critic writing in Spanish, quote, "People with low capacity focus on my hair and not my ideas."
Well, and that's the thing. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm sure he has, you know, great hair that is newsworthy. But, I mean, he just won, you know, a primary. Like, let's talk about his politics. Let's talk about, like, what he actually believes in.
Yeah, and I would love to know more about that. I mean, I have not sought out his campaign website yet at this point, just because I figured it'd be in Spanish, although I guess I could have used Google Translator or whatever. But, you know, whenever somebody uses the term libertarian, I'm always suspect.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, how libertarian is this guy? If he's for open borders, then that's a pretty good sign that he's pretty libertarian.
But if they say ANCAP, it's always a little bit even better of a sign than
that's just true,
libertarian.
Yeah.
Is he against the war on drugs? I have not seen anything about that. I presume he is. That would be the sane position. It's a pretty standard libertarian position. But let's get into what happened. What is all the hubbub about? The Argentine peso apparently plunged on Monday after shaggy-haired 52-year-old anti-establishment candidate who admires former President Donald Trump. Okay, that's one president or one strike against him.
Well, they say that, but it could just be that he said something totally innocuous.
Came first in primary elections that will help determine the country's next president. Javier Milei rocked Argentina's political establishment Sunday by receiving the biggest share of primary votes for presidential candidates in the October general election to determine who leads a nation battered by economic woes. Milei wants to replace the peso with the dollar. That's another strike against him. But I can understand the perspective, meaning that this guy actually is for the abolishing of the Argentinian central bank. He says it should be abolished. And that's a pretty hardcore, you know, economic freedom position. Replacing it with the dollar is the lesser evil in this particular case. It's not exactly a pure free market perspective. But that said, that particular move has done very well for the South American and Central American countries who have done that. So, for instance, in El Salvador, where they made headlines in September of 2021 for adopting Bitcoin as a second legal tender alongside the U.S. dollar, which Argentina could certainly follow in their footsteps, that was a huge move, and they were able to do that because El Salvador has no central bank anymore. They did at one point in the past. They had a peso, if I recall correctly, and they got rid of that at some point, and they went to the dollar, and that has been good because even though the dollar is evil, and even though the dollar is created by the world's worst central bank, at this point in time, it's not suffering from hyperinflation. So jumping off of something that is inflating at 100% a year to something that might be inflating at 10% a year, it's bad, but it's not, you know, instant suicide.
Well, people in the Central Bank of Argentina might lose their jobs.
Good.
Yes, indeed. And that is one of the reasons why this man is probably, if he doesn't have 24-hour security, he may want to consider hiring some, because he is, you know, it's pretty common for the libertarians to be looked at as a joke. They're laughed about. They're ignored.
Well, they don't do as well.
Well, right. But in this case, this guy actually just won this primary, and it will explain what that means here. So he is now an actual threat to the establishment.
I mean, we've seen that in New Hampshire at first. You know, libertarians weren't really talked about in the news. And then once, you know, a lot of those, you know, Democrats started realizing, like, oh, these people are, like, winning elections and, you know, actually making a difference, you know, then they start to, you know, go on their slander
big
campaign.
Time. They actually did an anti-Free Stater protest. What was it, last year, I think?
Yeah, 2020.
In the summertime.
Yeah, there's been news articles. And
Oh, big time. Attack pieces. Yeah. Letters to the editor have been written.
I mean, the New York Times even wrote a hit piece on Jody Underwood.
Mm-hmm, sure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that is what happens when you become a threat to the status quo, and that's what this guy is now. So he wants to get rid of the central bank. He wants to get rid of the peso and just dollarize the economy there. But he's also, and I don't think they mentioned this in this story, he's also a Bitcoin guy. So I did see an interview with him on Argentinian media talking about Bitcoin, and he's got it down, right? Like, he understands all the important things. He's an economist, apparently. So, like, this isn't just your average schmo lawyer who's running for office.
And that also might be, you know, part of the reason why he won the primary, is because if the economy is doing so bad, you know, people that, you know, want to be able to survive are going to start to look for something a little bit more logical.
Well, and he's actually telling the truth, right? Like, so he's kind of doing the Ron Paul thing here, where he's seems to be very principled.
Mm-hmm.
He's keeping his messaging very principled, and he's getting attention. Like, this guy, remember when Ron Paul was, like, filling stadiums full of young people back in 2012 and 2008? I mean, this guy's doing the same thing.
Yeah, I saw a picture of a Free Stater we know. His son went to go see this guy, Malay, in Argentina, and I don't know if he lives there, if his son lives there, or was visiting or what, but he showed us a picture. It was like a, you know, a big,
like a football
rodeo
stadium or something, right?
A large football stadium, and there was, like, most of the seats were filled. And the other thing I wanted to point out is, I don't know how old he is. I haven't looked it up.
52, 53. He's like Mark's age.
Wow, I was going to say he looks young. Mm-hmm. Well, he looks like he's in, like, maybe his early 40s to me.
Hmm.
His hair's all brown.
So he's really connecting with people because, well, when people are hurting economically, they're more, I think, likely to listen to someone who's trying to explain to them that, no, it's not Putin's price hike. No, it's not the greedy corporations, which is, of course, the lies that the U.S. government has been telling about inflation here. It's the central bank. It is, and in one of the interviews I saw him doing with, again, national media there in Argentina, he was calling inflation the inflation tax, which is what it actually is. So he's getting out there and he's letting people know what's going on. He's blaming the central bank. He's blaming the government. He's blaming the currency. He's explaining what inflation actually is. So he's getting really good information out there. Even if he doesn't win this election, he certainly has gotten a lot of good information into people's heads, sort of like Ron Paul did. But again, the American people weren't hurting economically when Ron Paul was running. So I don't think many of them
paid attention. 2008.
Yeah, not like in Argentina.
Well, Sure, but more than most Americans ever have.
No one was going hungry in the United States in 2008. So, Malay, according to the story at the AP, they give a couple more examples of some of the things he is apparently known for. He has characterized sex education as a ploy to destroy the family and has said he believes the sale of human organs should be legal and that it should be easier for Argentines to own handguns. So, to go on the legalize human organ trade is a pretty hardcore libertarian position to be taking.
That's also like a strange example to give, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, if I was trying to describe like what free market means to me, that wouldn't be the first thing I would list.
Well, of course it's the first thing the mainstream media it's probably something that's not on the main page of his website.
Like, who knows how many times he's brought it up at all.
Yeah, so probably
he might have said it once,
right,
and they're like...
obscure interview, and now he'll never live it down.
And now, the thing about sex ed, I don't think is like very libertarian, but...
That sounds a little right-leaning.
Yeah, but it could just be, you know, that he doesn't believe the public schools should be teaching it, and I don't know. I'd like to hear his full opinion on it.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree that that's definitely a very conservative stance.
Yeah.
But I do know a lot of kind of, like, conservative people, like, leaning people that consider themselves libertarian that are pretty principled on most other topics would also agree on that point.
It's something that doesn't make one not a libertarian, is what I'm saying.
No, that's
true.
If he wants to get rid of government schools, too, that would be awesome. But again, we haven't seen his campaign site. We don't know all the details. We just know what we're hearing. And apparently he does describe himself as an anarcho-capitalist. The Argentinian government, get this, decided to devalue the local currency by 20% early Monday morning after Milei's showing that turned Argentina into the latest country where voters have chosen an outsider candidate to express anger against the status quo.
That's so annoying. Like, they're just assuming that it's about expressing anger. Like, it's not that people are, like, excited for this new opportunity. No, they're just expressing anger. I mean, like, maybe you could say that something Trump, like, that is what happened with Trump. Like, you really can't say what hundreds of thousands or millions of people say by something where that is nonverbal, like
right,
voting.
A vote. But you have no idea the reason why someone votes.
But maybe, like, it's been enough years that we've done some studies and found out, oh, anger was involved. But, like, recently it seems like there's all these people that get elected. Like, there's this hot chick in Italy, and I can't think of any other examples, but they get elected and then are about to win or whatever, and then the mainstream media starts comparing it to, oh, it's exactly like Trump. They're an outsider. People are angry. I keep seeing that. It's just like, I don't know. It's an annoying thing, a recurring thing I keep seeing.
Yeah, it kind of devalues it. Right? Like, oh, you only did this out of anger. You
didn't
use logic and reason. Like, this wasn't...
You weren't thinking.
You weren't thinking.
Yeah.
Mad.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because typically when you're angry, like, you're being irrational and whatever. Like, one could just reacting. One could assume that.
Now, you could do what you would call an exit poll, and you could actually talk to voters and find out, but that's the only way you ever know. You can't ever just look at somebody, oh, well, they voted for this guy. They must have been angry. That is a complete extrapolation from no information whatsoever. But if you do actually do an actual exit poll and you ask people, who did you vote for and why did you vote for them, then you can actually find out the reasons. And I bet you it will turn out the reasons are quite varied. There's a large range of reasons why people make these choices. Some people vote because they hated the other guy and the person they chose was simply the lesser of two evils. And maybe some people are voting out of anger or whatever.
But a lot of people obviously went and talked to him, so they... probably like what he had to say.
I think so. But here, apparently the Argentinian bank didn't like the fact that people voted for him because according to this story here, Argentina's government devalued the local currency by 20% on Monday. So it's almost as though the central bank threw a hissy fit and said, oh, well, we're just going to go ahead and print up another, you know, $100 billion dollars or whatever 20%.
It seems so excited because it's like, wouldn't that make him look more correct?
Absolutely, I would think so. Yeah, I think that would not work in their favor.
Right. We want change now. Like, look what they're doing.
Well, I mean, it could just be that they are trying to burn as much of the value out of this thing as possible. Because what happens when inflation occurs, when they print a bunch of money out, is they give it to their buddies, so it goes to, you know, whoever's politically connected. They get the money first, and so by when they get the money, it hasn't really devalued yet because it hasn't kind of filtered down all the way into the economy. So they benefit from that sort of free money in that case. But as it starts being spent, as they pay their employees and the employees go out and spend it and, you know, all that, that's when the prices start to go up because, well, what's happening economically is you have a larger amount of money that is, quote, chasing the same amount of goods. So production hasn't increased dramatically in the time between they hit the print button and when the money got printed out, so prices go up. And so what that actually is doing is it's literally taking value out of the pockets of anyone who has the Argentinian peso, or in our case, the U.S. dollar. If you have any savings, whatever's in your wallet, whatever's in your bank account, if you got something stashed under your mattress, whatever your savings is, if it's savings that you have in dollars, or in this case in pesos, when they print more of that money out, you have the same amount of money, but it doesn't buy as much. Your standard of living is going down. You can't get the same amount of food for $100 at the grocery store as you used to,
if you
and so on.
Have enough money under your mattress to buy a house, then once they print 20% of the money supply ever printed, is that what you said?
They said that it fell 20% in value, or devalued, so I mean, you could look at that way.
You're going to only be able to afford a 20% less nice house.
Yeah, good chance of that. And so it's like, are they just trying to extract as much value out of this currency as possible before it all comes to an end? Now, that's a little presumptive, suggesting that this guy actually has a chance to win the election when it actually happens. So what does that mean? What does it mean to win the primary? Well, we get into that here shortly. So Argentina apparently is one of those countries where you are required by law to participate in the election.
Really? Wow. I did not know that was a thing anywhere.
I think Australia is another one.
Oh, wow.
Really? I'm not surprised about Australia, because Australia is kind of strange with
I don't know what the punishment is if you don't, because apparently only 69% of the country's 35 million voters actually bothered to show up to the required quote-unquote election.
Well, like, what if you're sick, or what if you're elderly and bedridden or something? Do they make it easy for, like, can you do it online? Like, what are the types of...
What if you just hadn't had time because you're, like, a construction worker and you just haven't had time?
What
you
if
don't
I just
know
don't want to?
Better than the next
well,
person?
Usually the companies are required to give you time off in cases
like
that.
No, not to go vote. I mean, like, you haven't learned about any of the candidates, so you don't know which one you want to vote for. It seems like they don't care about that. They just want you to vote.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, I mean, the responsible thing to do is, like, if you don't know anything about either of the candidates and maybe you don't care, is to not vote.
Right.
Well, in this case, 31% didn't vote, and so obviously the punishment must not be that severe.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would be putting 31% of their population in jail, which you can't do.
When I went to go vote for Trump in 2020, I didn't know that I was going to be voting for a bunch of other people at the same time. So I was just standing there like, oh, I should have looked these people up or something. And I just chose the names I liked the most.
I don't think you have to. I think when you're filling it out, you don't necessarily... I think you can leave some of the stuff blank.
That's a good point. I might have not had to, but I thought I had to.
All right, so...
This is the first time I ever voted ever.
They get into the question of how this works. How did he actually, quote, win the primary? What does that mean? It actually is better than I thought that it was.
603-283-6160. You can call in with your opinions on this. Don't go anywhere.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News update. Officials say the death toll from the Hawaii wildfires will likely continue to rise. What's already the deadliest wildfire in modern U.S. history has claimed 106 lives. The economic cost to the island of Maui could reach $7 billion. President Biden is marking the one-year anniversary of the signing of the Inflation Reduction Act.
The Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal initially called my plan Bidenomics. But guess what? It's working.
During an event at the White House, Biden called the legislation the largest investment in clean energy and climate action ever. Well, never mind pumpkin spice season. It's already holiday shopping season with some big retailers rolling out string lights and Christmas trees. At Home Depot, holiday products including 8-foot Santas and giant nutcrackers launched online last week, and Costco is rolling out its artificial Christmas trees. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Back to Free Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. That's the number you can call to talk about whatever is on your mind. You can talk about what you think about what we're talking about or bring up a whole new subject. It's up to you. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
And Ian.
And Nikki.
And so far tonight, we've been talking about this guy, Javier Milei, who wasn't voted into an office yet, but he won a primary.
Well, he actually is an office holder. So he is one of the, I guess, the equivalent of like a representative in Argentina. He's kind of like Ron Paul was here. So he's gotten some level of political.
Ron Paul was like a senator?
No, he was a rep, U.S. rep. So I believe that he is what they call a national deputy there. And his party is apparently La Libertad Avanza, which means Liberty Advances.
Oh, I like that.
But he's also apparently a libertarian, which is in Spanish, Partido Libertario. in Argentina. So he's got a few different affiliations. But anyway, this guy won the presidential primary over the weekend in Argentina, a country that is beset by a terrible rate of inflation. Last I heard was about 100%. We just learned that Argentina requires its citizens vote, but yet only 69% went to the polls, so it must not be a very significant penalty if you don't vote. And I think it's silly to require people to vote. I mean,
it's strange.
I mean, it's bad enough that we have ignorant people voting here in the U.S., and that would just bring more ignorance, I think, into play. But so the story from the AP gets into a little more detail. Like, what does it mean when we say he won the primary? Because here in the U.S., when you quote-unquote win a primary, it's not necessarily particularly
big news. It's just within your own party,
yeah.
So your party's obviously going to choose someone to run.
Yeah, I mean, Aria DiMezzo, our co-host, who's sadly in prison right now for selling Bitcoin without government permission, you can go to thecrypto6.com if you want to learn more about that.
AriaDiMezzo.com.
AriaDiMezzo.com, yep, you can contact her in prison there. She won a primary in the Republican primary here for the sheriff's seat, but she was only against a write-in candidate, and although that write-in candidate was their usual major candidate that they run, he screwed up and didn't file in time or whatever, so he had to do a write-in campaign, and she won. And there was actually all this publicity and hubbub over it, but she lost the general election to the incumbent candidate anyway. So what is this so noteworthy for? Well, according to the story, after doing much better than expected, the upstart candidate who gained notoriety and a rock star-like following by angrily ranting against the political caste, in his words, is now a real contender for the presidency. And they say here the major parties had contested races to be its presidential candidate. Milei's race was uncontested and got a few more points than the candidates of the parties that have dominated Argentine politics. With around 97% of polling locations reporting, Milei had around 30% of the total vote. So apparently in Argentina, the people voting in the primary are all just voting in the same election. So all of the candidates, it sound like, are maybe in the same, I don't know, so that's kind of what I'm
Yeah, so it's not like here where there's the Democratic primary and then the, you know, Republican primary.
It doesn't seem like that.
Seems like it makes more sense. I never really understood, like, why there are these parties and why they get to have this, their own little things. I don't know.
The candidates in the main opposition coalition, the United for Change, were at 28%, and the current governing coalition, Union for the Homeland, had 27%. So
Union for the Homeland sounds bad.
They all sound pretty bad, but 30% for Milei, 28% for the opposition, quote unquote, to the current power structure, and then 27%. So the major parties together, of course, got more than Milei did, but individually he scored higher than any of the major party candidates. And I'm guessing those were the combined totals of the other candidates in the other parties. In order to win the vote, the real one that happens 2 months from now, Milei would have to increase his share of the nation's votes by 15%, a high hurdle even in a nation where voters tend to favor candidates that they see as winners. If one candidate doesn't receive 45% of the vote, they would need 40% and a 10-point lead over the second-place candidate. Otherwise, the race will go to a November runoff between the top two. So he's still got some work ahead of him here.
That's an interesting. It all sounds, other than requiring people to vote, it all sounds like a better system in the United States. Like, any person is just running. It doesn't mean, oh, this group of people is part of this set of ideas, and so only one of them gets to run. No, everybody's just running, and then, well,
I don't know who gets knocked out after this primary. I presume that the major parties will only be fielding one candidate in end of this.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like.
Whoever
so it's just one per party, based on whoever got
guess.
The most.
Yeah, but still, it's like the entire country is voting for all these people instead of, well, you get to vote for whichever one the Democrats eventually pick.
We're presuming.
That's what it sounds like.
It's what it sounds like.
And then the other thing is, well, you can't just win if you didn't get at least 45% of the vote. Like in America, way less than 45% of the entire country votes for the actual president who wins.
Yeah, and I will say there is a huge emphasis, at least in the United States, on party. So many people, they just will vote, okay, Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. It's just like, I always vote Democrat, so like, that's what I'm going to vote for. And a lot of people, I would say most Americans kind of fall into that category where they just blindly vote per party, and they don't really, they're not voting for the person, they're voting for the party.
Yep.
Right, and the fact that so many people in Argentina have seen it to where they can actually vote away from the two parties and vote for this other guy whose party, I presume, has never done anything more than win a few representative seats or something like that, is pretty noteworthy. In celebrating at his election headquarters, Milei vowed to, quote, bring an end to the parasitic, corrupt, and useless political caste that exists in this country.
Nice.
He said, today we took the first step toward the reconstruction of Argentina. A different Argentina is impossible with the same people as always, he said.
And it's true.
He has been a lawmaker in the lower house of Argentina's Congress since 2021. They've been struggling with an annual inflation over 100%, rising poverty, and a rapidly depreciating currency. Milei first attracted wider support by calling for the country to replace the peso with the U.S. dollar. Franco Lecertesur, age 19, said as he celebrated outside of Milei's election headquarters in Buenos Aires, he said, I'm very happy. We're looking for a change. We're tired of living like this. All the countries that have been dollarized ended up moving forward and stopped having inflation. Well, what he means is they stopped having 100% or 50% or 90% inflation, and instead we're only subjected to the inflation that the U.S. government is doing, which is less. And for their case, it's an improvement. The main opposition coalition called United for Change moved more to the right as former Security Minister Patricia Bullrich, who made toughness on crime a centerpiece of her campaign, handily beat a more centrist contender. In the currently governing coalition, the Union for the Homeland, the more business-friendly candidate, Economy Minister Sergio Massa, easily beat a leftist contender, but still took an overall beating from voters frustrated over the poor state of the economy, finishing in third place for total votes. At his electoral headquarters, Milei's party leaders were ecstatic, while people celebrated outside, expressing optimism their candidate's support would only grow in the run-up to October. Another young voter, another 26-year-old here, Orlando Sanchez, working in the retail sector, said this. He said, I like his ideas about freedom. His ideas don't scare me. People are free to choose what they want. If criminals walk around with guns on their belts, why can't an ordinary citizen have one lawfully and with the proper documentation? People are clearly tired of politics and being constantly lied to.
I mean, yeah, that sounds pretty on point.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't sound angry to me.
Oh, that particular voter? Yeah, he seems like he's
excited,
optimistic.
Like I said, looking forward to change.
Yeah.
Right. So there was an interesting post that, again, this has been being spread all around, you know, social media by libertarians, like, oh, is Argentina going to become, you know, the libertarian capital of the world? Is New Hampshire going to be second to Argentina soon? Now, again, this begs the question of, what can one man do? Because you have to remember, for all the excitement about Ron Paul, and as principled as Ron Paul was, once he's actually in office, he can only do the things that a president can do. Now, when it comes to, like, withdrawing the military from overseas engagements, he could do that. So that alone would be worth having a libertarian president. But he can't, like, just abolish the IRS offhand. He can't just, you know, eliminate the DEA. He can't just go in there and completely decimate the U.S. bureaucracy. You would also have to elect a U.S. House and a U.S. Senate full of libertarians as well to even have a chance at being able to kind of overturn the status quo. So, of course, it does beg the question of how much power does the Argentinian president have? What sort of things would Javier Milei be actually able to accomplish by himself, presuming he doesn't have, you know, any congressional backing of any sort? And that would be a question for somebody who perhaps has grown up or spent time in Argentina and is more familiar with the, you know, the political system over there. So I don't think that even if this guy wins election, you're going to see Argentina turn into some sort of libertarian paradise. But is it an indication that the people of Argentina are upset? Yeah, definitely. And it is an indication, I think, to the other two parties that they should probably, you know, if not go total libertarian, they should be a little more friendly to some of this guy's ideas. So maybe
I'm trying to pull up his website, and on both my phone and the computer in here, it says I've been blocked, and I have to email the owner if I want to view it. Because they have some kind of...
Oh, that sounds awful. I looked it up, and I wasn't able to even find it.
I typed in Javier Milei website.
Yeah.
So maybe if he does get elected, that will send a message to the Congress there in Argentina that, okay, it's time to get rid of the central bank. You know, I am expecting a bill on my desk in the next 2 weeks or whatever. And maybe we'll be able to actually accomplish some of this stuff. But again, I think people need to be realistic in their expectations. People tend to want to believe, and it's a wrong tendency that mankind tends to have, which is this one great man will save us all, whether it be the people who think Trump is the son of God and he's here to save us from the evil government, or that they think Biden's going to get in and completely change things.
I mean, I think those people just don't understand how politics work.
No,
like,
they're completely ignorant.
That's the big issue.
It's like in Napoleon Dynamite when they're having a high school election summer weekly, I think her name is. She says, I'm going to put lip gloss dispensers in all the girls' bathrooms. And it's like, I always thought, even back then, I was like, would the principals let her do that?
Probably.
No, she could probably just say it
just
and get people to vote for her.
Right? Yeah. It's just a promise from a politician.
But it's the same thing, right? Yep. Like, politicians will do that. Oh, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and then they get into office and they don't do it, and people call them out on it, and they're like, oh, well, I'm trying my best. I don't have the power to do any of that. Okay, well, then why did you say that you did?
Yeah.
Just to get elected.
She also says about Pedro running. It's a guy from Mexico that goes to their school now. She says, who wants to eat chimichangas every day for lunch next year? Not me. And I doubt that he would have the power to do that anyway.
So Spike Cohen, who is a libertarian activist, he was actually their vice presidential candidate in 2020, fairly well-known libertarian activist in the libertarian circles. He commented in regards to Javier Milei's success, and he made a really great point, because there's a lot of people out there, and let's see if I can pull up the exact statement that he made. There's a lot of people out there who think that libertarians should be toning it down. We need to have a big tent. We need to make sure that we don't upset anybody with our viewpoints.
No, we should tone it up.
Right. And so this is the point that he essentially made, was that, you know, this guy has a very strong platform, apparently, of slashing the government back, ending the central bank, legalizing organ selling, right? So, like, these are pretty serious
positions.
Wait,
so is that something he's already... Oh, no, that's just one of his positions, right? He didn't, like, put a bill forward.
No, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, I can't say what he did as a congressman, but... You know, these are pretty serious positions, and as Spike Cohen pointed out, look, there's all these libertarian strategists who say, we have to be careful not to be too bold in our messaging. It will scare off voters. And then you have this guy in Argentina who's being very bold with his libertarian messaging, and we heard from one of the 26-year-old people that were supporting him saying he's not afraid of freedom. He's not afraid of the things that can happen. And, of course, that is what the government wants people to do, is to be afraid. They want you to live in a state of fear, so they will be the ones who will save you from whatever the boogeyman of the moment is. Again, it's hard to say what's going to happen here, but it is certainly big news that this guy won this presidential primary with more votes than either of the major party candidates could.
It's very clear that the mass media propagandists are against him, too, because
they're calling him right-wing.
I'm trying to Google Javier Milei website. Who knows why I'm being blocked from viewing his actual website? Maybe he's getting too many hits on it, and he wants just... You know, Argentinians to be able to look at it? I don't know.
It isn't uncommon for sites to block visits from outside of the country. So
yeah,
like,
so I put on a VPN. Well, okay, it might still be outside of the country, but it wouldn't be the United States. But anyways, when I'm just Googling, okay, then let me just Google Javier Milei policies. What does he believe? What is he running on? All those things. Every single thing I looked up. Al Jazeera, Reuters, Buenos Aires Time, Wikipedia, AP News. They all have the word far right in their
Yeah, I saw a lot of titles with that too. And based on what I'm hearing him say, like, to me, those aren't far right ideas.
I haven't heard anything.
You know, he's not really saying anything that crazy either. Like, he's really not saying anything that far out there. Maybe the human organ things for some people that, I mean, to me, if I can donate my organs, why can't I sell them? Like, what is the difference? You know what I mean? So, for some people, that might be far out there. But, I mean, even that's not a far-right belief to be able to sell your organs. You know what I mean?
What's right-wing about it? And also, what's right-wing about downsizing the government? I just don't understand what's
right-wing
about it.
It's more conservative, right? And typically conservative.
Not really. I mean, like, the conservatives want the status quo. They want to keep it how it is right now.
They love big government.
Yeah, but I would say, like, by the definition of what conservative is supposed to mean, right, it's supposed to be they're more conservative with government control and taxation and stuff like that.
Maybe they're supposed to be not blowing up the government even bigger. Maybe that's what they're supposed to do. But I've never heard of any definition that they're supposed to be downsizing the government either.
Especially in the United States, I mean, I think we can agree. Democrat, Republican, it's the same thing. Like, to me, there's, you know, they'll be different on, like, a few key points to, you know, get people reeled in. But typically, it doesn't matter who you vote into office. I mean, whether it was Biden or Trump, they were both doing the same
thing. They're both going to make the government bigger.
Exactly.
I think the thing you have to separate is the politicians from the run-of-the-mill conservatives, right? So the conservatives, if you were to get a conservative alone in a conversation and say, Are you in favor of big government? They're going to tell you no.
Yeah, of course.
Now, you're still going to be able to nail them down on certain things like, well, you think the military should get more money, right? Oh, yeah, of course. So they don't really believe in small government. They just don't like certain government agencies, and they want those things reduced. But then once they get in, like right now, they don't like the FBI because they're not running things.
Yeah.
But as soon as, you know, Trump or whoever else, you know, whatever Republican gets in next is in, all of a sudden, all the talk about abolishing the FBI is going to go up in smoke, and they're going to say, well, we know how to run the FBI. And
if Vivek Ramaswamy wins the election, he's just going to be like, well, I whipped the FBI back in shape, and now it's good, and now we got to keep it.
So the, you know, your run-of-the-mill conservative voter, they may actually want to see government get smaller, quote-unquote, but the politicians sure don't. They only say that to get elected.
Exactly. Yeah. So
what does this guy actually believe? I mean, he says some really good things. I certainly like what I've heard so far. I wish him the best. And to the Wall Street Journal's credit, unlike most of the articles you're talking about, Bonnie, that do refer to him as far right, at least the first sentence of the article about his hair does say that he is a self-described anarcho-capitalist. So, like, in the first sentence, it at least gives him the, you know, the ability to describe himself in this particular story. So good luck to Javier Milei in the next couple months. And, yeah, I did also do a VPN connection, and his website's blocking Europe, and it's blocking the United States, from what I can tell. So I think that he's probably getting a lot of hits, right? So, like, he wants to make sure
limiting it to Argentina.
Right. He wants to make sure only potential voters in Argentina are the ones that are getting the service, because if you get this kind of a blow up on the media, you're going to get a crashed website. I mean, it's almost it's almost a guarantee.
It was in Spanish anyway from, like, the preview I could see, so it probably wouldn't have helped me much. But as far as talking about the politicians all being the same, Democrats and Republicans being the same, I do have this story from Al Jazeera that has themes of that, in my opinion, because Trump, Biden, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter who's in office. There are people on the border who are not being allowed in, who are living in devastating conditions, and no one wants to talk about it right now because, well, Joe Biden's in office. Everybody wanted to talk about it and do nothing about it when Trump is in office.
Yeah. No, and that's another great example. Even when Obama was in office, it was the same border crisis where, like, children are being abducted. They're being kept in literal cages like animals. Like, that was happening under Obama, and no one heard a word about it until Trump got into office, and then all of a sudden it's Trump's problem.
Yep. I never even knew about it when Obama was in office. That's how much they just didn't talk about it. But this one is actually about Afghans who've been fleeing deteriorating economic and humanitarian conditions, finding themselves with few pathways to seek refuge. And this is from Al Jazeera by Brian.
So the U.S. government went in and destroyed their country for 20 years, and now they want to get out, and they're
America
not allowed
will
to come
let them
here?
In. Right.
Of course.
Says the immigration detention center was packed. There were more than 100 people in a single room meant to accommodate less than 20. A, which is the code word, I guess, an Afghan man who asked that his name be withheld, had come...
Are they all sharing the same toilet, too?
Well,
probably,
that's what it sounds
if they
like,
even have one.
Yeah.
There's prisons like that in El Salvador with one toilet for 100 men.
I knew a guy in when I was in jail a decade ago for civil disobedience. There was a guy who told me he was in jail in Massachusetts in a holding cell with 150 guys and one toilet in the middle of the cell.
In Massachusetts,
in Massachusetts, one toilet in the middle of the cell, fully within view of the 150 people in the cell.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy. I mean, that's just, it's dehumanizing.
Yeah,
it is. What it is. I mean, everything that goes on in prison is dehumanizing.
That's seriously, how far away is that from the people who were taken away on trains in Germany and they had to poop where they were standing? I mean, somebody's going to poop themselves if 150 people have to wait.
Mm-hmm. Well, and poop. Exactly, and that's the thing, too. It's like whether it's a real toilet or a bucket, like you were saying, like when they were transporting people or when they were, you know, in the gulags or, you know, in Nazi Germany, like what is the difference? You know, it's either way, it's inhumane.
It's really gross. But this is just on the American border to, I think, the southern border to America. 100 people in a room meant to accommodate less than 20. A, an Afghan man who asked that his name be withheld had come to the United States with his wife to seek safety. But as they experienced their first days on U.S. soil, a different reality sank in, one in which their future was all but certain. Quote, we thought our problems had been solved, that we had escaped the risk of prison and torture in Afghanistan, he said. We didn't know that this was what awaited us in the United States, unquote.
And where else do you go?
So, and do we know how they got here? Was it like they got approved for some sort of, like, refugee program, or did they just show up?
Like they just showed up.
Yeah.
Like I think that they got brought here by America because it says A has spent the last 6 months in the detention center stuck in a limbo that awaits many Afghan asylum seekers arriving at the U.S.-Mexico border after the Taliban takeover of their country. With limited options for legal immigration, thousands of Afghans like A have resorted to desperate measures, embarking on dangerous trips to enter the country irregularly. Okay, I've skipped that part.
Yeah, no, it does sound like they didn't get brought here. It sounds like they came in through
Mexico. But then it says, and like A, many have found themselves swept up in the U.S. immigration detention system, faced with possible expulsion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
back to Afghanistan, where you might be put to death because you pissed off the Taliban.
What do you think? You can call in at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com
including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.